time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday the 15th of December 2012. Island Life is a weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12 by the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oneroa. On Saturday the 15th of December, Sharon Brown played a recording of the Waiheke Primary Kapahaka Group. She talked to the recently elected Waiheke Youth Representative Mariki Roche, and she spoke on the phone to Auckland Central MP Nikki Kaye.
So now we're going to go straight into Waiheke Primary School Kapahaka, and I think there's a little introduction on there that'll tell us what it's about. So it sounds like it was an amazing event, and I'll just play it now.
Earlier this week, Waiheke Radio were invited to Waiheke Primary School in Seaview Road to see the school's Kapahaka group in action. Trevor and Dougal went down to record some of the performance and spoke with the man behind the group, Morris Nelson, and with Jaden, Grace, Finn and Mari, four members of the group who performed that day.
E tariki toru fa.
E tariki. Whakaronga maera kia mato. E tariki. Titiro maera kia mato. Tenei mato o tamariki. E whakahono.
What do you call what you do? What you just did?
Kapahaka.
Okay. Kapahaka. What you enjoy about it?
Yeah.
So, Grace, would you like to start?
Okay. I like performing in front of people.
Cool. Fantastic. Any size? Does it matter?
No.
No? So you're quite happy with... What would be the biggest group you think you've performed in front of? Biggest number of people?
I'm not sure.
Not sure. More than 20?
Yeah.
Oh, in the public, because you do public performances,
yeah,
don't you?
Like well? What we did at the markets.
At the markets, yeah, so it would be great. Fantastic.
I enjoy all the waiata that we do, and I enjoy performing in front of people and having the experience. And yeah.
Well, I like learning how to sing in perfect Māori pronunciation.
And is there a lot of that to learn, Finn?
Yeah.
There is, because it's all Māori, is that correct? Is it all done in Māori?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. Great. And so did you know any Māori before you started with the group?
Yes, I only started when Morris started the group up, and I'd learnt quite a lot of songs from doing whole school waiata every 12 o'clock, but then when I got into the Kapa Haka group, I learnt about four different songs.
And you're still learning?
Yep.
Brilliant.
I'm still learning.
Gaden, what about for you?
I just like learning all the new waiata and songs that we do, and I mostly like learning all the hakas we do. And, yeah.
Because you guys have got strong voices too. You kind of lift the roof in this place, don't you, when you get going, all of you, which is quite AF. And how long have you been with the group?
Just when it started.
When it started. And how long has it been?
Sorry.
When did it start?
I think it started sometime this time.
Eight weeks or something.
Is that right? Only 8 weeks? You guys have only been together 8 weeks?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you've learned everything, obviously, that you did today and more. And I guess there must be so much more you can still learn, right? Each of you, I'll put you on the spot. Will you be back next year? Will you stay with the group next year, do you think, Grace?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Will you stay, Marie?
I'm here, right, so I'm graduating.
You're graduating? Oh,
but
right.
I'll probably come in, like, maybe on days that I don't, that maybe since my school finishes earlier, I'll come in and...
Sneak in?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I will stay.
You're going to stay, aren't you? Yeah, and Jane, for you?
Yeah. Kirero! Kamo! Waiwai takahi! Waiheke e toru fa. Waiheke e e karanga e te iwi e. Kuaeke mai nei, kuaeke mai nei, ki runga te marae. Maria maira,
Maria maira, e nga mate o te motu e.
Waheke e, e karanga e te iwi e. Kuaeke mai nei, kuaeke mai nei, ki runga te marae. Maoria maira,
Maoria maira, e ngā mate o te motu e, ki whānui e.
Titiro e ngā iwi, titiro e ngā iwi, ki ngā mahi o te motu, ke hura atu nei e. Rua na te penua, rua na te penua, pati ana te moana. Oue te aroha, oue te aroha, te mama, ia houe.
hoe te aroha, hoe te aroha te mama I a hoe. Rua na tepe, rua patea na riu.
So let's just ask a couple of questions of Morris for a moment. Morris, give us some background to what was the inspiration for having the group?
I took on a role within the school in term three, and the role was to teach Te Reo Māori, and that role took me from class to class. And I've also always been interested in learning new waiata and haka especially. So I started up a small group of roughly 12 students within the school, and that was 16 weeks ago. And from those 12 students, it just grew and grew and grew. And we currently have, I think it's 98 students
wow.
who now participate in our Kapa Haka group.
Wow.
And they range from 5-year-olds all the way up to 13, all the way to 13-year-olds.
So is that...
It's actually more than half the school.
I was just wondering if that's some of the group just grabbing the mic saying, oh, you should come and do this.
Well, you know, at first I thought that too. But, you know, our first meeting that we had as a big group, we managed to talk about the commitment that's involved in right. being part of this group. So from day one, there were 3 or 4 children who left. But we're still, you know, we're still growing.
Yeah.
Those children
still
left
right.
and
yeah.
more children came, yeah. so... Yeah, it's a great thing for the school.
Could I ask about the songs that we heard today?
Okay, the Tihe Māori Order. That Tihe Māori Order is celebrating Māori. It's also a welcoming song, a song that we use to welcome people. We do have quite a few on our playlist of songs that we use to welcome the special visitors. Haere Mai is another one. But we recently had a meeting, Porphyry, for Len Brown, the mayor of Auckland, came to visit our school, and we welcomed him with those songs, which went down well. The haka, particular Tika Tonu, which is one that Jaden led, that is a haka that is about encouragement, and it encourages people who are either graduating or leaving or moving on in life. It's usually a song that's sung at 21st birthdays to celebrate and to give confidence to those young men in particular who are about to go out and venture into the world, really.
Are any original songs there? Or a Waiheke song?
There is a song, there, Waiheke Air. The actual name of it is Inga Iwi Air, is the traditional name for it. And that is a song that we have attached... Waiheke to. It's a place of belonging. It's a song that celebrates who you are as an iwi or a tribe, and we have incorporated the word waiheke into it, which is the celebration of who we are, not just as a school but as a community as well.
So do you see a stage where you could have maybe 80% of the school as part
my
of
goal
group?
Is to get the whole school.
The whole school
involved in Kapa Haka.
I was going to ask, but I thought it could be a bit adventurous, but then when I look at you, I think it's probably, you wouldn't go for anything less, would you?
No, we have so much planned for next year as well. We should also thank the community as well who have been behind us, and parents who have, in particular, the New Hope Shop have recently given us $1,600
wow.
for this group of children. And that was the decision they made in about a week.
Right.
So we are very thankful to them. And our students will have new uniforms, just Kapa Haka uniforms.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of people in our community who also contribute towards this, as well as the teachers. I have to say the teachers have been amazing in this school,
yeah.
especially Lynn Price, the principal.
You did a public performance then at the market, down at the West End Market.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got anything else lined up, or is that it for the year?
Our very first performance, do you remember our first?
Was the fair?
Was the school fair.
Oh,
yes,
right.
And there was it was the highlight of the day. So many parents came up to me and said it was spectacular, it was fantastic. And it just drew the crowds of people that were here. And we do have other things in line for next year. I've connected with all the schools on the island, and we're all going to come together and have a Kapa Haka performance day. So it's not a competition as such, but it's a collaboration of all the children's work and their achievements, and we're going to be performing for a whole day. As a celebration, and hopefully I'm also going to try and get a TV crew over here too. Finn also raised the point about whole school waiata.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a half an hour once a week where not only the Kapa Haka group come in, but the whole entire school come together.
Nice.
And we celebrate and share music. And we sing without the actions. We don't very often do the actions, right. But we have other songs. We have a playlist of about a dozen other songs that we sing as a whole school. Yeah, and that's really something that I think the children enjoy.
Arena Pakia! Pakia, Pakia!
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
We've got Matariki, who's come in, and she's been elected to the newly formed Youth Advisory Panel for Auckland Council. How are you going, Mata?
Hi, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Oh, sorry, say that again. That's my fault, I didn't have the mic on.
It's pretty cool. It's really exciting, actually, to see awesomeness with youth and seeing that we can actually be representative.
Lovely, great. So what have you had to do in that role so far? Has there been anything?
No, we start up in February, but I've been setting up a youth council on the island at the moment, and we're hopefully going to have our first meeting in the new year, so
it's
pretty cool.
So is that made up of the people who also stood for election?
Yep, and any other people who actually want to be a part of it, like people who didn't want to stand because they have other commitments or they thought that it was a bit too scary for them because it's pretty scary standing for anything, really.
Yeah.
Especially
as going beyond school and beyond community and into the council.
It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Auckland. Woo, scary place.
Yeah. Oh, no. Excellent. Good. And so how many people do you anticipate will come into this youth advisory panel or the group on Waiheke?
The youth council.
Yeah, the youth council.
I'm not too sure, but at the moment I think we have about 10 or 11 people, but there'll be more people as I start to work with different groups, then we get more people, and basically the more the merrier, the stronger that we are. So
lovely, great. And so what kind of groups have shown an interest, or what kinds of interests have the people who've shown an interest got?
So you mean in terms of issues or?
Yeah, or just, you know, when you say I've contacted various groups or I'm contacting various groups, what kinds of groups?
Oh, just people who are really like out there in the community and I know are really well known. So people like people who stood, like Bella Joseph and Troy Lamas. And then we've got people like Tracy Pohiri, who's like really good with Facebook and stuff. She's really out there. She's an amazing person. And then we've got like people like Luke. Can't remember his last name.
Oh, Luke Carey?
Yeah, Luke Carey, who went to the UN thing.
Oh, lovely, yes, on the environment. He went to an environmental conference in Mexico, didn't he?
It's really smart people.
You kind of forget that you've got so many cool people on the island.
It's like, oh, it's crazy awesome people here. It's pretty cool.
Great, good. And lovely. And so what happens in Auckland then? So you go and you represent Waiheke with a bunch of young people from other Auckland communities have also been elected?
Yeah, so there's like, I think it's one member from each local board, like one youth representative from each local board, and then we meet up And I think the mayor's there, and so he takes in all the ideas that we have, and we talk about the issues and stuff we want to change and get basically feed off each other so we get more ideas and stuff.
Oh, cool. And what kinds of things are emerging on Waiheke that people have said to you or that you feel?
Heaps of people have been talking about the skate park to me. They've been talking about, like, oh, we want it upgraded faster and we want to be told more about it. And then there was, of course, the sand parade that happened recently. Quite a few people are upset about that no one told the youth of Waiheke weren't consulted about the fact that it was static this year instead of actually having a parade.
Oh, right. Okay. Does that make a big difference?
I think just being consulted about it first is kind of a big thing, like, just because the Santa Parade is about us, it's about Waiheke's youth, it's like celebrating the little kids and everything, and everyone getting on a float and walking around on it, or that's basically what it's about. So it was kind of like, oh, we weren't really told about it, that's not really okay.
Good point. And it's, yeah, and I guess now that you say it, it's, I hadn't thought about it, but it's a lot of the kids on the floats tend to be adolescents,
yeah,
don't they? I mean, yeah, it's the little kids, the little 4- and 5-year-olds who really enjoy it.
Yeah.
But the people who get up and dress up and are on the floats and wander around, and it's another one of those opportunities, like the teddy bears picnic, for people to get involved. And
it's so much fun. It's like, oh, like, I remember going on the fire track and stuff. That's like the coolest thing ever.
Right.
Being allowed to go on the fire track for the Santa Parade.
Yeah. So. But the other issue is, how would young people have been consulted? Like, I understand that young people are thinking, oh, they weren't consulted, and yes, we've got now someone on the youth advisory panel, but how does one consult with young people on the island, do you think, or how could one?
Well, now that we've got the youth council, you could come to the youth council meetings and stuff, and we'll be putting more, like, advertisement about around that, and you could talk, if it was from the local board, you could talk to the local board and actually, like, find out people who wanted to know about it and talk through the schools. A lot of people come to the schools, put notices in the assembly and stuff.
Oh, okay, so there could have been a notice in the assembly, and then if people felt strongly either way, they could have written in and said, actually, we really feel we want a parade or whatever.
Or, like, for example, the local board could have actually, like, allowed, like, had a slot, made the effort to let young people talk about it. So,
okay.
Yeah, there wasn't really that much.
Oh, I see. So maybe to have invited some young people to the local board and said, you know, how do people feel about it?
Yeah.
You've got half an hour, come in, and, you know, anyone who wants to talk can come in, that sort of idea?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. I think it's quite interesting, isn't it? Because you always think of, I mean, I always think of things like a local board or things that happen on the island as things that have to do with adults.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to get the youth council set up, because it's like, local board's so, it's like, it's adult really, and it's like, it's not really our thing, but it's not really for us, so we set up our own one, and then
At the same time, as you say, the decisions that are made affect you,
yeah,
and so that does seem a little bit unfair.
That's why I'm trying to work together towards with the local board, so I'll be giving a monthly report to the local board and stuff about what we want to change and stuff.
Oh, cool. So that's really nice.
Yeah.
And also, I guess, you know, the local board probably also likes to hear about things they're doing well.
Yeah.
So, that's always a nice one in. I remember talking to someone on the local board, and they said, oh, it's so nice when people actually come in and say, oh, I really like what you've done here.
Yeah.
And then sort of say, and actually we'd like, a multiplex skate park with a water feature.
Water feature would be pretty cool.
But again, that surprised me, because I'm like, oh, the skate park, that seems to be working really well now, you know. And it's quite interesting that you're like going, well, actually no, there's heaps more. That what's the vision for the skate park?
I've only just got in, so I'm still trying to talk about it, but I know heaps of, like, my friends at school and stuff who do skating and stuff, they're like, it's taking ages, it took ages just to get the half pipe in, and they're trying to get more stuff in, and it's just like, it's basically, it took way too long, and it's still taking way too long to actually get it done it, I think it should have more focus on it.
Right.
Or something.
Yeah. Welcome to the adult world, actually. Well, I'm very excited. I haven't read it properly, but someone's just drawn my attention to the fact we're going to get some traffic calming at Surfdale shops. So well done, local board, on getting that through.
Yeah.
And yes, so things do seem to take a long time.
They
do. But we always wonder why.
Yeah, so, what's taking so long?
Yeah, so maybe with more pressure on things to happen a bit faster, that'll be better. Anyway, is that your phone or my phone?
I don't know. I think it's yours.
It's confusing, doesn't it?
I know. Too many phones.
Great. Okay, great. So, lovely. Well, listen, all the very best. Oh, and can you just very quickly tell us about the highlights of this year at school?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's been so many awesome stuff happening at the school. There's been, like, for Waiheke High School, it's been a pretty busy year, actually. Like, recently we've had the wastewater issue being dealt with, so there was this big trouble with the fact that Waiheke High School was paying for the primary school and the kindergarten, and I think about 4 state houses that have been sold sewage, and we were paying about 20 times more money for it than like a big town and school, so we had to pay for it ourselves, and it was like, but recently that's been sorted out, so that's been pretty cool.
Mm, and Nikki's going to be talking about that in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was quite involved, Nikki Kay, so that's going to be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
And then there was, of course, there's been heaps of, like, big sporting events going on at the school recently, like Hedda Pullum went to Canada for Waka Ama
cool.
World Champs, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And they've got the Nationals on the 14th of January, which is going to be pretty cool. One of my friends Shayla's going, which is pretty cool.
Well, I think the other nice thing about having you on this, especially as I've now got your mobile phone in my phone, is I can say, who can I talk to about this? Because it would be lovely. I don't think we've had her on, and it would be lovely to talk about her experiences at the Waka Ama Champs and just with Waka Ama generally.
Yeah, it's like, well, because it's such a cold sport and I'm so physically demanding, though. It's like, whoa. But it's really cool. Like, it's a great experience. Go to town, perform with all, and you're competing against all these other big schools and stuff. And it's like, we're actually coming out quite well, which is really awesome to say. Yeah.
Great. Good. One more thing that you've got there?
Well, we had the Te Manu Kōrero National Speech Competitions earlier on in the year, and Tia Rewete performed, and I think she got second or third. She was like, she came really high ranking, though. It was
wow,
awesome.
Lovely. And what is that? Is that a Te Reo speaking competition? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's like, because every year we do speeches at the school and stuff, and then you had the chance to do Māori speeches if you're in the bilingual cultural kapahaka groups and stuff. And so then you have, we here in New Zealand, we have a Māori speech competition, and so it's called Te Manu Kōrero, and yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, so cool. She did well at the national level as well with that.
Yeah. I think she represented Auckland. It was pretty big.
Oh, well, you see, these are the kinds of people that would be great to get on radio and just say, you know, hey, just tell us about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Lovely. Good. And anything else?
We've had the junior music showcases and all the big, like, choir performances throughout the year. And the year 7 and 8's choir performed at the Kids Sing, which is kind of like the Big Sing, which is like a choir competition type thing. And so they performed at that for the very first time, which is really cool.
Excellent. Good.
Yeah.
Look, we're going to have to go, but thank you very much for coming in. That's absolutely tremendous.
Welcome.
Yeah, and well done. You know, you're on radio. It's the first time you've spoken on radio. You've spoken really confidently. You're a pleasure to have on.
Hope so.
So take care. Have a lovely Christmas.
Thank you. Yeah, you too.
Great. Waiheke Radio. Okay, well, we've got Nikki Kay on air, so that's absolutely fabulous. And how are you doing today?
I'm good, actually. I've just come from the opening of Jacob's Ladder, which has been a piece of the Victoria Park Tunnel project, and it's a bridge that connects the Western Bays to the waterfront. It's going to be great for walkers and cyclists, but it's a really great community asset that's being delivered as part of the Victoria Park Tunnel project.
Oh, wonderful. Good. Because I have to say, that whole area, I ended up having to do something in Ponsonby, and I hadn't realised there was that whole sort of walkway along the motorway.
That's right.
And it's actually really nice, and it's so quiet because you're thinking, oh God, I'm going to be walking along the motorway. This is a bit boring, but you can't hear the motorway, and it's actually quite green and lovely down there. And it's
and the reason that has happened is because, I mean, it's actually just to show you the power of both community organisations, but a project like this. So we've put all of the noise shields up, worked with the St Mary's Bay Residents Association to make sure that when we're doing it for a part tunnel, we're able to keep that reserve and really get that walking and cycling access. So it's a really great example of collaboration between the community and government agencies. Oh. Are you there? Sure.
Yeah. No, it's great to see that kind of thing happening. We seem to be coming in on the same line, and I'm just trying to adjust the volume so that we both sound the same coming through, but it's actually quite tricky to do. So, okay, look. Right, so I just wanted to... So a bit of a victory on Waiheke as well.
It's fantastic. I mean, look, it's been a long battle for 2 years. I've been really proud of Neil Watson. I think he's done a great job on the issue. To give you a bit of a history, Neil obviously approached me 2 years ago.
So hang on, we're just talking about the water situation and the septic situation at Waiheke High
That's
School,
right.
And the fact that the school felt $40,000 shouldn't be coming out of the operations budget to pay for septic, and that should be covered by the government. And
yes.
We haven't had any luck with that for quite a number of years, have we? So carry on.
Yeah, so that's so a lot of schools, so right around the country there will be schools that will pay for various pieces of infrastructure out of their operational grants. But I felt that, and as did Neil, that in this situation that island communities were particularly disadvantaged. So the last Minister, Anne Tolley, called for a review of all of the islands in terms of funding of isolation index. And both Neil and I were unhappy with the results of that review. So what Anne then did is she asked the ministry about a year ago to say, well, could we look again at the eligibility criteria? And basically what happened over that period was the ministry didn't do the work, and I was really pleased that what happened was Heke Parata directed the ministry a couple of weeks ago, this was about 10 days ago, to resolve the issue. And I think it's really pleasing because it had caused a lot of heartache between the schools as well, because obviously it's not just Waiheke High School that's connected to that infrastructure. And really my thanks goes to particularly Neil Watson, but the patience of all of the parents, but also the boards of trustees involved in the situation.
I think John Stansfield was quite instrumental as well in drawing attention to it. And
And all I'd say is I think when you look at the paperwork for a long period of time, both Neil and I have been sort of fighting the fight. I think in my experience, 90% of the cases for stuff gets solved, but it is very trying for certain people in the community, and I'm just really thankful that we got there.
That's wonderful. Why do you think things do take so long? We've just had someone coming on talking about that just now. Why do things take so long to get through council, do you think?
I think...
Well, that's a slightly different issue, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, no, it doesn't matter whether it's council or government. From my experience, some things can happen quickly, but often when they don't, it is usually because there is a major conflict. And when I see things happen quickly, it's because you've got leadership in a situation, it's because people are taking responsibility. I think the one thing, I've had 3,000 constituency cases this year, the one thing that I would say is I think we've still got a way to go in terms of what I would call too many processes in the system.
Mm.
So I always use the term... if I make a phone call or if I send a letter, sometimes things do happen a bit quicker, and it shouldn't be like that. In my view, any resident in the city should be able to get things done. But, sometimes there's just too many processes involved and too many people.
Hear. Now, we've just had some hearings on the island around Rangihaua Park and the possibility of having a reserve management plan. Now, one of the things I was... interested in was someone said to me that a reserve management plan would be in the too hard basket because it would mean that we'd need to have reserve management plans right across the whole Auckland area. Is that the case? Do you know?
Look, actually that hasn't been raised with me by anyone. I'll go and have a look at it if you like. But that doesn't sound right to me. I sit on Local Government and Environment Select Committee, so I've obviously been getting involved in the resource management reform. But look, I'm happy to have a look at the issue. If you just send me an email,
lovely.
I'll have a look at it.
Great. But essentially, the reserve management plans are there to be... I mean, it's not that difficult a process to put through, one would think.
Well, it depends on what the issues are on that particular plan.
Okay.
Again, and without knowing all the detail, I just have to have a look at that.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Great, good. Can I just ask you, because obviously you're an Auckland MP, but what are some of the main issues facing Auckland at the moment, do you think?
I think the three. The first is, for a long period of time, for decades, where there's been underinvestment in infrastructure. And that is both transport infrastructure, but other projects. We've tried to rectify some of that, but there's still, as you'll see, is happening in the public transport debate, with investment in ferries infrastructure, bus infrastructure, or rail. There's a funding gap there. And I met with the mayor yesterday. There's a lot of discussions that are going on about that, about what are potentially funding mechanisms in the future, so that we never let Aucklanders end up in the situation where everybody's trying to pay for things within a short period of time that should have been paid for over, you know, 20 or 30 years.
Mm.
The second big issue that I see, I think housing affordability is a major issue. And if you look at people's wage packets in Auckland, you know, a large chunk of that is eaten up by rent or, you know, if you've got a mortgage. And what we're doing at the moment is we've committed to all the recommendations around the Productivity Commission report. So we think there are three or four things that we need to do. One is free up land supply, because there's no way that you can build a house cheaply in Auckland if we don't actually have more space and more land. There's got to be a balance with that from an environmental perspective. The second thing is infrastructure costs. So we're doing a lot of work at the moment to say, why is it that, you know, things are costing a huge amount to build a house? And the third is around the RMA consenting process. One of the things that we just put in legislation the other day is to have 6 months consent timeframes for subdivisions. That's not about changing the quality of the decision. It's about ensuring that the process happens quickly. And if we can do those things, then I think we can start to bring down the cost of housing in Auckland. So housing and transport are the big ones. And then thirdly, you know, I mean, I'm a bit biased, but I'm the Auckland Central MP, and I think our harbour is one of the greatest assets in the world. And opening up our waterfront, but also looking after that harbour is really important.
Great. Okay. Oh, lovely. Thank you. So how close are we to getting a world-class public transport system? I mean, I know it's something that's very close to the mayor's heart. And
yeah.
I have to say, I was quite struck when I went down to Wellington about how I could get on a train and then 20 minutes later I'd get off the train and there'd be a bus that had come from the same place I'd got the train on from. And
yeah.
I just thought, my goodness, it just seemed to function so well. And people
yeah.
were genuinely using it. And I know people say, oh, Aucklanders don't like public transport, but I do feel if you build it, they will come.
Oh, and look, and what I'd say, Sharon, is we've come a long way since the Auckland government's legislation. So, you know, obviously there have been issues with certain projects, but the fact that we've now got an integrated ticketing system that is going to, I mean, one of the big parts of having those connections is being able to look across the city and finally plan citywide. So say, well, look, if someone's coming from Waiheke, they want to get on a bus, they then want to potentially get on a train, you know, what's a seamless journey, and is that at an affordable rate?
Mm.
And there's a lot of work going on with Auckland Transport and NZTA from a central government level to redesign our trips across Auckland. That's the first thing that can happen. The second thing is there are some major public transport investments that are happening. We put in $550 million into the electrification of rail, which we agreed that deal with Len. That's a huge amount of money in pretty difficult fiscal conditions. The next projects are really decisions around the CRL and the Third Harbour Crossing. But there are some other smaller infrastructure projects, in my view, that will also, in the short term, because the CRL can take anywhere from 9 to 10 years, increase public transport trips. So they are, you know, I met with the ferry companies the other day. Sorry, I'm just on the side of the road. And there are some other areas of Auckland, where we could have podcast.
Yep, hello.
I think we've got to look at those.
Oh, whoops, are you still there? Oh, you're still there, but we're sort of losing you. I don't know if you can hear me, so we'll just try and keep on.
I can hear you now.
Oh, you can? Okay, great. No, okay, great. I was just wondering from a Waiheke perspective, apparently there's been... Fullers were lobbying central government to say that we should not be included in any kind of integrated ticketing scheme. The Waiheke run shouldn't be included in that. Did you have any feelings on that, or are we any closer to having Waiheke included? I realise that we're sort of, you know, not part of the main issue.
Well, my understanding is you will be included. So if someone's saying that, then I probably need to clear that up in the papers in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, okay, fine. So does that mean... Yeah, sorry, go on.
I think it is important. I mean, I think Waiheke Islanders, you're just as important as everybody else in the city, and it's important that you've got the connections and the benefits of the hop card.
Oh, that's great, because I know it's a bit of a struggle for us to participate in Auckland because of the cost of ferry travel, so if there was something that kind of could reduce that, yeah.
Yeah, and look, and I'm doing quite a lot of work in the ferries area at the moment. I mean, I think we've talked before about it, but now that we've got the Auckland Council one integrated system, there is more of an opportunity to not only invest in ferry infrastructure, so if we get more trips happening across the harbour, in my view there's an opportunity for greater competition and potentially bring down the cost for islanders. But I'm just doing quite a lot of work on that at the moment, and I think the point that you raise about even just ensuring that you guys are part of that integrated ticketing system is important. The only thing I say is it just is logistically, the only thing that may be holding some of that stuff up is logistically it's a bit harder in terms of just that basic infrastructure. It's not the same as buses, but I don't think that should be a barrier long term.
Mm-hmm. Can I just ask you about housing? And this is probably not a very well expressed question, but one of the things that I was looking at was saying that, you know, in the rush to build, in the process of building houses, 60% should be in designated urban areas, but 40% could be outside of those designated urban areas.
Yep.
So it doesn't that risk creating a situation where you just have a massive, massive urban sprawl? And why is, and you know, in a sense, getting rid of all the farmland, all the parkland to be able to meet that need? And you know, where did those figures come from, and why is it, you know, you would just expect it to be more sort of concentrated in urban areas?
Well, I think it's a balance of both, Sharon. So we've been negotiating with them over the last couple of years about this issue, because if you, in my view, the first thing I'd say is, absolutely, if you have too much urban sprawl, then the cost of infrastructure goes up, and also you can get rid of what could be incredibly important parklands. The only thing I'd say is when we looked at this issue, we think you can still have a huge amount of parklands across Auckland, but if you put the limits, the metropolitan urban limits, too tight, and you don't take on that 40% of extra land supply, we think the cost to housing for Aucklanders becomes so significantly more. So what the balance is to say, look, if it's 50-50 or 60-40, the main thing is that we ensure we've got still, large tracts of parkland, but that we're not outpricing Aucklanders out of housing. And I think we would do that if we didn't free up some land on the outer limits, because when you actually look at the unitary plan and you start saying, well, where would we put the stuff? You know, how much dense housing are we going to do in certain parts? The reality is this is people's neighbourhoods, and the difference between doing intensification on Great North Road, right, rather than in the heart of Ponsonby, is huge, because you've got historic heritage villas.
Mm. Oops, hello, are you there, still there? You seem to be cutting out. Have I still got you? Okay, well, we'll just hold that thought for a second. But we might...
heritage areas.
Sorry, can you just say that last sentence again?
You'll destroy some of our heritage areas.
Mm.
And that's the balance that we're going to start to get to in terms of detail next year, which is where can intensification happen? Where can we go up? Where can we do more dense housing? And then where can we free up land in the outer limits? And I think all I'd say is that's going to be a very hard discussion for some communities. And I think when we start to have that discussion, the people who have said don't free up any land in those outer limits, I think we'll see the sense of doing that, because otherwise I think we would have intensification right all over all our heritage areas.
And how much does Waiheke feature in all of that? Because the you know, people do bang on about how Waiheke is the jewel in Auckland's crown, and you know, if we have there's already a lot of the conflict that comes up on Waiheke is based around you know, consents and people trying to build on ridges, coastlines, coastal yards, etc., etc. And also, how can Waiheke be protected, do you think, in the long term from this pressure? I mean, I can see, obviously, you know, as Auckland becomes bigger and bigger and more pressure to build houses, some of that pressure will, of course, end up on Waiheke, which is, you know, very close to Auckland. But at the same time, the you know, one of the key assets that Auckland has is Waiheke Island. So
yeah.
how do we protect that so that people still have a relaxing park?
It's through the unitary plan, right? So the unitary plan is the key instrument to get specific rules around certain areas in Auckland. And if you look at Barrier, the rules that have previously been under planning instruments that exist are different to Waiheke. Some of them are more restrictive in certain areas. But in my view, the unitary plan is that when we go through that process, it's about saying, well, Waiheke is different and there's certain areas of coastline that you want to protect. And that's the opportunity to go through and have their say.
Right.
What we've announced as part of the Resource Management Act reform is Len approached us and said, look, we think this process, because there's so many plans in terms of the integration of the city, it could take 10 years. And so what we've announced is a legislative process that will mean that it will take 3 years the right of appeal. So we reckon probably 90% of the issues will be solved via that process, and there might be 10% that are appealed. The important thing is whether it's freeing up land for housing affordability, whether it's certain environmental projects in the city, we don't want to wait 10 years to have progress, and that's why we put this legislation in place. But that'll be the process that people can have their say.
Right.
In terms of specific rules for Waiheke.
The other issue around that, though, is, and I can't seem to get much clarity out of different people at Auckland Council, is what is the relationship between the Hauraki Gulf Island District Plan and the Unitary Plan? Because on the one hand, we're told that we're bound by the Hauraki Gulf Island District Plan, and we shouldn't worry too much about the Unitary Plan, and yet, on the other hand, presumably there'll be things happening in the Unitary Plan that affect us too. Do you have any comments on the relationship between those?
Yes. Yeah. Look, what we did when Auckland Governance Reform happened was we recognised the period of transition around these plans, but that the ultimate goal was to ensure that we had a lot less planning instruments. So there will be one unitary plan for Auckland, but there'll be a section in there that is around the Hauraki Gulf. So the key thing is I wouldn't get too hung up on what the name of the plan is. The main thing is that Waiheke Islanders will have their say, and I think the first cut of the Auckland unitary plan will come out next year, and I'd be surprised if it's dramatically different to what the Hauraki Gulf the Hauraki Gulf plan is at the moment. The main thing is we have one place so people know what all the rules are from Auckland. It's not complicated, but I don't think the rules will dramatically change.
Right.
I mean, it's up to Waiheke Islanders if they want them to dramatically change, but I'd say when they do their first cut of integrating all the plans together that they will bring in the Hauraki Gulf plan.
Lovely. Okay. Well, listen, Nikki, thank you so much for coming on. And I'm really excited I've been able to get you on the phone, because it means that potentially you could call in more often if you could.
I'd love to. That'd be great.
Great. Well, have a lovely Christmas and enjoy. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
You've been listening to the Interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.